Modern medical opinion is not unanimous in its diagnosis of Job's disease, but according to the prognosis in Job's day, it was apparently hopeless. The horrible symptoms included inflamed eruptions accompanied by intense itching, maggots and ulcers, erosion of the bones, blackening and falling off of skin, and terrifying nightmares. Though some of these may possibly be attributed to the prolonged exposure that followed the onset of the disease, Job's whole body, it seems, was rapidly smitten with the loathsome, painful symptoms. What a tragic picture. Job is covered from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet with those oozing, itching ulcers, and he's sitting there in the ashes, scraping them with pieces of pottery. When you have experienced a loss, have you ever wondered why God leaves some things behind and takes others? Sometimes what he leaves seems strange to you. I have in mind Job's wife. She said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." Job chapter 2, verse 9. Who on earth needs advice like that? Bailey mentions in his book that one of the best contributions we can make to a person going through intense suffering and loss is our presence without words. Not even verses of scripture dumped into the ears of the grieving. He said, "Don't try to prove anything to a survivor. An arm about the shoulder, a firm grip of the hand, a kiss. These are the proofs grief needs, not logical reasoning. I was sitting, torn by grief. Someone came and talked to me of God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly. He said things I knew were true. I was unmoved, except to wish he'd go away. He finally did. Another came and sat beside me. He didn't talk. He didn't ask leading questions. He just sat beside me for an hour or more, listened when I said something, answered briefly, prayed simply, left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go." An individual reeling from the blow of calamity has a broken heart. The soil of his soul is not ready for the implanting of the heavenly seed. He will be later, but not right away. Nor is he ready for some extreme word of counsel like, "Curse God and die." Mrs. Job, incidentally, is mentioned only one other time in the whole Bible. Her great contribution to Job's life would be her counsel here in 2:9 and later in 19:17. There Job comments, "My breath is offensive to my wife. Can you believe it?" My phone rang on a Monday morning several weeks ago. A good friend of mine in our church tried hard to speak, but his voice broke. He wanted to meet with me as soon as possible. He told me my counsel was absolutely vital. He apologized for interrupting me on my day off, but it couldn't wait. Of course, I dropped everything. We met in my study less than 30 minutes later. He stumbled in, weeping audibly as we embraced. I sensed immediately that Clifford, not his real name, was in no condition for a lot of high-powered advice or even a reminder of what I had preached only 24 hours ago. Between sobs and lengthy pauses of total silence, so important in the counseling process, I said virtually nothing. Cliff's wife had just returned from seeing her physician. After extensive testing and a thorough battery of diagnostic exams, it is certain she has a malignancy of the lymph glands, and it's the kind that has a very bleak prognosis. Even if she endures the miserable chemotherapy treatments, it was understandably devastating news. For almost an hour, he poured out his anguish, his fears, his confusion. The man is knowledgeable in the scripture. He and his wife faithfully attend Sunday services. They both love Christ. But that was no time for him to be told a lot of stuff, even true stuff. He needed a listening ear, plain and simple. Funny thing, as Cliff left, he embraced me again and thanked me for my counsel. I really don't believe I said 10 sentences the entire time. When you have friends who are going through valleys, they will appreciate so very much just the fact that you care. Your presence, some gracious act, a warm embrace. These kinds of things best show your love. In fact, Just sitting beside them and crying with them often helps the most. God's great goal. I want you to read what is, in my opinion, one of the most profound verses in the Bible. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks." Now here it is, so please mark it with pencil or your mind. Etch it there and call on it when calamity strikes. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job chapter 2, verse 10. Amen. Job's God was not some gracious creature who sits on the edge of heaven, dropping good little gifts wrapped in silver out of the sky, saying, "That will make you happy. That'll please you." That's not the God of heaven. The sovereign God of heaven disposes and dispenses what brings glory to himself.